G'day, Pete.
How are you, KB?
Pete, I'm going well. A lot of interest in injuries coming out of this round and also the match review panel. For Epworth Hospital, Epworth is better. Let's go through the injuries for starters.
Yeah, well, Richmond, first off the bat, I know they're major ones, but they're playing next week. Corey Ellis, a young player, got a hip flexor. They thought it was adductor initially, but yeah, so he'll miss a couple of weeks. Important one for West Coast, even though they've got the bye, face Melbourne in Darwin in a couple of weeks. Will Schofield with the glute, looks like he'll miss a couple of weeks, which, as we all know, they've had shocking luck with their defenders. So there's another one that they'll have to try and patch some sort of combination together that can hold off the D's, who were pretty good yesterday.
Very good.
Now, good news for Sun supporters and footy supporters in general, that Gary Ablett's due back. They've always had the bye, post-bye lined up as the potential return date, so that'll create a lot of interest coming back against the Blues, which is probably a winnable game for them. Just looking at their injury list, they've still got missing Jack Martin and Swallow and Harley Bunnell, but those three are due back in the next couple of weeks. So it could be an interesting back half of the year for the Suns once they get a few of those guys back.
So that's the Sunday game at Etihad Stadium, Carlton versus Gold Coast, G. Abbott to return. Okay.
Certainly an interesting game, yeah. Robbie Gray, we saw that incident, which we'll talk about a bit later, with concussion. Now, he was basically, Ken Hinckley said after the game, he was okay to go, but they decided to be really cautious, which is good to hear in some respects. So he should be no problem once as the bye. The other one's Carlton. Speaking of the Carlton Gold Coast game, Mark Murphy, the skipper, has really returned to form in the last couple of weeks. He had a bit of a quad issue, but just speaking of the club, in the last 10 minutes, he should be fine. No problems that he'll play against the Suns. So it's pretty good news in some respects.
Taylor Walker,
the thigh. Well, there's unclear about Taylor Walker. He was walking around. People from AFL.com.au saw him the day after at the airport on Friday, or on their way to the airport, and said he was walking fine. He has to be some sort of a doubt. Those corkies can be a problem, but look, he's got Saturday night at the Gabba, so he's a chance. He'd be a chance, I'd say.
Okay, so there's some of the injuries for Epworth. Epworth is better. What about for Cromagin Hot Water, of course, number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade? Let's have a look at the match review panel. Lots been said about Bryce Gibbs, sling tackle on Robbie Gray. What's your thoughts?
Yep. Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Kev? I mean, my initial thought when I saw it was that he was in trouble, and I think that he... My view is that it was careless, high impact and high contact, which would be 3 down to 2. Now, there'll be plenty of debate about that. I don't think there's any doubt that it's careless from my perspective. The question is whether it's medium or high impact or severe, even if they go straight to the tribunal. So my view, high impact, high contact. What were your thoughts?
Yes, I said 3 down to 2. I mean, yep. He left the ground on a stretcher. Yep. Didn't return. I know that they said he passed the concussion test, but their vision showed that he was knocked out, so therefore yep. They had to be cautious. So the player left the ground, didn't return.
Look, I think the thing for us...
And it'd be careless. I don't think Bryce Gibbs intentionally wanted to do it, but it was just careless.
Careless, and he did... Look, one of the factors that the tribunal take into account is the potential to cause serious injury, and there's few actions in the game with greater potential to cause serious injury, really, than if you've got a bloke's arms pinned. And I know it all happens in a split second, and then you throw them to the ground. And I know people will argue that that's just a normal thing in footy, but we really have to try to, where we can, stamp that out, is my view. So, unfortunately for Gibbs, that's my view on the way it might go.
Okay. A couple of things came out of the Hawthorn game against Adelaide. Sam Mitchell raising his knee with Taylor Walker coming into... bump him. Now, I have some sympathy for Sam Mitchell there because a big guy coming in to crunch him and to shepherd him, and therefore he's taken some reflex action. So I'm well within giving the benefit of doubt to Sam Mitchell there, but what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, KB. I think that it was a reflex action that his knee's gone up. He's chasing Rory Sloan at the time. Tex Walker's a big fella. He came in. It's almost instinctive to lift the knee, and unfortunately he's copped... Tex right in the wrong spot in terms of getting the corky, but there was nothing malicious from what I saw. His knee came up right at the last minute, so I'd say that it'd be just insufficient force, no action taken there.
The other ones we've been speaking about this morning with the fans is Ben Stratton and Josh Gibson punching and elbowing Eddie Betts and Charlie Cameron. Now, there's always the talk about insufficient force. It'd be interesting to know if the AFL at some stage or the match review panel could actually give us their definition of insufficient force.
Yeah, well, it would be. I actually wrote about this last week on the website in relation to Buddy Franklin copping a fist in the head, back of the head, for Michael Furlow, who got a fine. And I think probably Stratton and Gibson will get a fine because it'll be careless and low impact. But I reckon there's a couple of things starting to creep into the game from my view. It's just people doing those little elbows around stoppages or quick punch to the guts, where really they can put, if nothing else, they put a player momentarily out of the play. And if the ball's speeding around, you're one down in the forward line or the back line, that's a fairly big penalty in some respects. I don't like it at all, to be honest. So I reckon it's something the MRP is going to have to look at the end of the year, to be honest. I think those two players will get a fine.
Would you think, you know, if you're on the match review panel, if you wandered up to him, Pete, and unsuspecting, you just went whack in the guts and they went down, and would you be able to say to him, listen, don't get upset with that because that was insufficient force?
Yeah, well, that's what I'd be arguing, but I'm not sure I'd win that case. I agree, 100%. Was my argument in relation to Buddy Franklin. I mean, imagine if 20 defenders decide that they have a free hit or a $1,500 hit at a defender. You've got to actually, or at a forward, you've got to actually protect the player who's going for the ball. I think that's where it's potentially a little bit out of whack. We even saw Trent Cotchin.
Now, what about that? I'm trying to recall it myself. A lot of people tell me he's whacked Selwood. I can't see the vision in my brain now. Whether it happened off screen, I've tried to get him to bring it up here. They can't seem to find it for me. But is that the same sort of thing? Is it
same sort of thing? Except that Koch had an open hand, so I think he was okay. He definitely had the open hand. You could see in the vision. But he was the classic case of a tagged player wanting to make sure that the tagger stayed away from it at the stoppage, and it was just a quick punch to the guts, a little bit out of frustration, a little bit just to, you know, don't come too much closer. Luckily, Koch, we know Koch's a ball player and he had the open hand, so that sort of mitigates it a little bit, but Selwood certainly went down as though he'd been hit fairly with sufficient force.
So will they look at that?
I reckon they'll look at that, definitely, yep.
The one that you mentioned with Frito when they played against Sydney, I agree with you there. I mean, Frito has just punched him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
A long, long way from the ball. Now, you can understand if your fist is making contact with the ball and the side of your arm hits somebody, you know, it's incidental contact in a marking contest. But when you hit him right in the back of the head with a big punch...
He almost had the TW sheriff marked on the back.
Very, very lucky to get a fine from that. And I just wonder, Pete, with the AFL bringing in this year fines rather than some of those suspensions, whether it's given, you know, open slather to a lot of players and clubs to say, you know what, you're only going to get a $1,500 fine, so you might as well give them a whack in the guts or hit them in the back of the head.
I think the incentive or the risk that the player needs to be increased from my perspective, because if you're a ball player and you're not even interested in any of those sorts of things, well, then you're actually potentially at risk of copping one of these knocks, and repeatedly, and the player who actually does it incurs a fine, which they can live with. I'm sure they don't live with a suspension. It's just a little bit of a worry because I know players are pushing the envelope, and we can all see it. Mm. It's happened more often, no doubt about that.
Well, we can certainly see it. I wonder if the match review panel can or the AFL. Pete, always great to catch up from afl.com.au.